welcome back to the Earth on Survival Guide, the podcast that paths players and game masters with your questers, Josh and Dan. I am Dan.
I am Josh.
And on today's podcast, we will be discussing all things thaumaturgical, because we're going to talk about wizard spells, third and fourth circle. We did the first couple of circles a little while ago. We're going to do third and fourth, which they have those bookended for the podcast playlist you're going to play on. So if you have any questions for us about the spells you're going to hear tonight or any other spells you'd like us to talk about as we get through this whole series, please feel free to email us at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. Spells, Josh.
Wizard is my favorite magician discipline, followed very closely by Nethermancer just because of the style of them.
Fair.
But I haven't actually played a wizard in 4th edition significantly enough, so it'll be nice to go back over these and remind myself of what the spells do.
Oh, totally. I use in Classic, but I have not played any spellcaster whatsoever in 4th edition, because I was mainly playing a scout for the last 3.5 years. So I just need to make a spellcaster. So our beginning third circle spell is Astral Targeting, a zero thread spell.
Yeah, this is a nice one. This is a self boost. This is a spell that the wizard casts on a target and, if successful, gains a +2 bonus to spell casting and effect tests against any target he has astrally sensed for a number of rounds equal to his rank. To his spellcasting rank. So it lasts a little while. It just takes one round to throw off, and extra success levels increase the duration of the spell. And it targets the magician's own mystic defense.
Yeah.
And so with this, I would use the common optional / house rule that it is guaranteed at least one success, but your extra successes are still based off of your normal mystic defense.
That's not bad.
But getting that extended duration, and when you get to 5th circle and have enhanced matrix, or even sooner than that if you want, you can weave an extra thread to change the duration from rounds to minutes.
That's very nice.
Yes. And then it's just a matter of astrally sensing the targets, which Astral Sight is a simple action, I believe, so that you can do that prior to casting any spells or whatever you want on them.
Yeah, I kind of like astral targeting. Just helps to hit things, which is, of course, what it's there for. Next up, we have Aura Strike. I have used this in the past in Classic Edition. It is a one-thread spell, and I think this one I've used before to target minor horrors.
Yeah, this is a nice spell. This is a good damage dealing spell. The drawback of it is that in order to successfully cast it, or in order to target somebody with it, you need to astrally sense them. But again, astral sense is a simple action, so it's not that big a deal. It takes a round to prepare prior to your journeyman circles when you get the enhanced matrix. The nice thing, it doesn't do a lot of damage. It's only willpower +3. It is against mystic armor, which is a little bit nice, but the target suffers a wound from the spell regardless of the damage dealt. This is one that I'm pretty sure was adapted from from Arcane Mysteries, I think, is where it originally appeared.
That rings a bell.
But extra success levels on this, on the spellcasting test, increase the effect step of the damage. So that's nice as well. But the wound is considered a normal wound. It lasts until the target gets rid of the wound through normal methods.
Yeah.
There's not a duration where that effective debuff goes away.
Yeah. Aura Strike's one of my favorite damage dealers when I played my wizard. No lie at all.
When you get to Journeyman Circles and you have that enhanced matrix where you could cast this every round, this becomes a really good choice to have as a standard damage spell to have in one of your matrices ready to go, just because of the wound. Wounds are nasty. Wounds are penalties, and penalties stacking suck.
Totally. And then if you can just do the extra threads to increase your effect step, by all means, why would you not do those? Because this is like your hip spell. This is just one to have out at all times ready, as you said, in the matrix. You want 10 to do damage? Pull the sucker out. Totally worth it.
Yeah. even at lower circles, when you don't have the enhanced matrix to make it an every round spell, putting a wound on people is definitely something worth considering from a tactical standpoint when you are in a fight. Yeah. Equivalently, you've got Astral Spear. Mind Dagger is every round. Astral Spear would be every other round because it's a one thread spell and it does more damage, but it doesn't have the sort of additional secondary effect. So it's an interesting trade off potentially. Yeah. Combat Fury provides bonuses to the allies' close combat attack tests. So unarmed combat, melee weapons, both of those would benefit from this spell. It lasts quite a while, so it's a nice combat buff for your frontline close combat fighters. The drawback is that the target may only make close combat attacks during the spell's duration. It is sort of a give them Berserker Fury thing. Extra threads can increase the effect, increasing it from +2 to +4 with one thread and, like, you know, plus twos for each additional. It is a zero thread spell, so it is something that you can do right away. And an extra thread can also add up to your spellcasting rank in additional targets. So that's a nice thing to sort of do as a group buff rather than a single target.
Yes. As I said, my fighter liked it. My archer did not. I couldn't.
Archer would not care for this spell at all. There are other missile weapon enhancing spells. I don't recall right off the top of my head whether Wizard gets one of them. I know Nethermancer does. Nethermancer gets Arrow of Night, which is really cool. You combine this with Iron Hand, which is a lower circle wizard spell that provides bonus to damage, close combat damage. That can provide even more oomph to your
party.
Close combat frontliners, continuing to play into the ideas that with a lot of magicians that they are more of a sort of enhancement support boosting
role,
buff debuff, to borrow terms from other areas, when it comes to what they do, rather than, you know, throwing out just raw damage.
But so far I'm liking all three of these that we've hit.
They're all solid spells.
Identify Magic is next.
This is an intelligence gathering spell. This is not a combat spell by any stretch of the imagination. But this is a spell that allows the wizard to figure out what kind of magic is present on a person, place, or thing. They make a test, and if successful, the degree of success determines how much they learn, including, like, what type of magic is involved, perhaps what discipline, circle, like if you're talking about adept magic. This does more than what, say, Astral Sight and Pattern Craft could determine, or at least it does it more easily than Astral Sight and Pattern Craft would. It does it more quickly. Astral Sight and Pattern Craft could conceivably, with appropriate knowledges and stuff, depending on how you're running it, could allow you to understand to a certain extent what kind of magic is involved in a thing. This will just tell you, and it only takes a round, as opposed to perhaps a few minutes of study or whatever.
So this is more accurate and more specific.
Yes, and plays very heavily into the themes of wizards being knowledgeable about magic as magic and being able to study and analyze that compared to the other magician disciplines.
Very nice. I like this one. It's not bad for only a one thread spell, so that'll work. The next one is Levitate. This one looks like it has been expanded upon from the original edition that I was using, because this has like 4 or 5 paragraphs explaining what Levitate can and cannot do.
Levitate is a classic spell in first edition, and it's still the case in fourth. Really, rather than levitating an individual target, what it does is it makes a platform, essentially like a kind of invisible elevator of force that can raise or lower things collectively up to 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And it is possible using this to bootstrap levitate. So at the top, at the highest level of the initial levitate, you can cast it again to get another levitate sort of on top of that. But as soon as any of the lower level levitates end, then the entire scaffold collapses.
Column comes crashing down.
Some additional clarification that is provided for this to answer some circumstantial situations, like what if I've got levitate going and somebody additionally jumps on? You need to make a fresh test.
Yeah.
Just kind of handling that. It's a cool spell. It's been around since first edition. It is a tradition of magician spellcasting disciplines in fantasy games all over the place. So.
Oh, totally. Totally. This is a good way to move your unconscious obsidian or your wounded troll without having to drag.
Except it does not allow you to move things laterally. It's only up and down.
Correct. Yes. Sorry, I was referencing my memory, which is we had somebody in the Terror in the Skies care.
Oh, yes.
We had to get them way up to the top.
Yeah, with Sorry. Terror in the Skies.
I didn't fully explain my memory.
If you had somebody that was unconscious, you could use Levitate to make your way to ascend up the shaft of the Windling Care there to get out.
Yeah. So, but I did mean to bring up the whole, you can't do it horizontally, only vertically. So my error in speaking. My fault. Next is Wizard Mark, and that rounds out our third circle wizard spells.
Yes.
This is a two-thread spell.
This is a two-thread spell. This is, again, not a combat spell. This allows the magician to mark a target's pattern, astral pattern. If successful, the mark is visible to anyone using astral sight and can serve as a way to mark or brand them or otherwise indicate something bad about them, if that's what you care to do. But it gets around range limitations, in a sense. It allows the wizard who placed the mark to cast spells on the target while they are within line of sight, as if they were touching the subject. So this can actually be used to, in theory, because it lasts rank hours, cast this on party members and then be able to buff them with closer range touch or short range spells without needing to be that close to them. So it's kind of a way for the wizard to get around range limitations when it comes to casting spells on their allies. That's what I would primarily use this for.
I don't disagree. I also think that I love the holdover sentence that's been there, I think, since the original edition, which is just that a horror may have taught name givers this spell, so it's regarded with suspicion.
Yeah, it's similar in some ways to the horror mark, which allows some horrors to use their powers or abilities on their marked target, regardless of range or distance.
Yeah, I just love the fact that you get some setting lore in the spell description as well.
Yeah, we try and do that when we can.
Yeah, because it's fun. Why not? So of the third circle spells, do you have a favorite?
Aura Strike, probably.
Yeah, I don't blame you there.
Aura Strike is nice. Combat Fury, I would put behind it simply because while it is a nice boost, the limitations that the targets can only do close combat attacks could potentially mess with tactics or situations. It's just something to keep in mind. I mean, Identify Magic is kind of cool just because of the information that you can gather through the use of it. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm a big investigative mystery, puzzling things out and gaining information that way.
Yeah.
Those would be my top three out of it. Astral Targeting is decent, but I would probably put it below those three.
Fair. Absolutely fair. On to the fourth circle. Ball of String. Nice little three-thread spell here. We're finally getting to the bigger ones.
This has many threads required. This allows the wizard to leave a, for lack of a better term, magical trail of breadcrumbs. This is like a magical Theseus in the labyrinth situation. They kind of anchor the ball of string, the magical ball of string, to a point. And then as they walk, it plays out behind them.
Mm-hmm.
All they need to do while the duration is in effect, they turn back and start gathering it in, and they see the line of energy that leads back to where they anchored it.
Yeah.
It can certainly be helpful in a labyrinthine care diving or other kind of situation where there is a risk of you getting lost or separated or needing to find your way back to a spot in dangerous or bad circumstances where you might not be able to see or otherwise navigate. Somewhat limited, but really cool.
They're finally with the thread count.
Yeah. Binding threads doesn't do any damage, but it entangles the target, and the target is bound, cannot use their hands to attack or cast spells, and they suffer from harried penalties. This is nasty. Part of the reason that it has two threads is that it gets around the journeyman enhanced matrix situation where you would be able to cast it every round.
Yeah.
Places it so that it can only be cast every other round, but it can effectively remove a target from combat. And those kind of lockdown spells or lockdown effects can be pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And frustrating if used on player characters. The target affected by it can make a strength test each round. If successful, they are only harried and they can still attack and cast spells. If they fail, then they can't do either. It's useful. It's more likely to be useful against magicians and like if you're using it against name givers, magicians, other support type characters rather than combat types that are likely to have higher strengths or abilities that might allow them to boost their strength.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not as helpful against creatures, especially creatures with higher strength scores, because you don't actually roll the effect. The effect step is just what the difficulty is.
Mm-hmm.
It is somewhat limited in that regard, but probably super handy against enemy magicians.
Totally. I can also see, because we went through a number of horrors in our last episodes that have wizard spells at a certain circle, and I can so see a horror using this spell against heroes who are attacking it.
Also probably particularly handy against windlings because they typically don't have high strengths. This is a pretty effective lockdown spell. It can only be cast every other round. It's got a short range, but it lasts a few rounds.
Somewhere, and I can't remember where it was. No, it's like Magneto in the first X-Men movie. He takes, they're inside the Statue of Liberty, and he takes the
The
scaffolding or the structure apart and just binds people to the walls with that. So yeah, something along those lines. Next spell is Evolved Consciousness. This sounds new to me.
This is a new one, as far as I recall. This gives the magician its range self. So normally they cast it on themselves. It grants them a +4 bonus to knowledge and pattern craft tests, representing an increased ability to recall and process information.
Totally.
And that can be handy. Again, tying into the sort of scholarly and analytical aspects of the wizard, because it applies not just to knowledge tests, but also to pattern craft tests, playing into the book wizard idea where the strength and focus of a wizard is in learning as much as possible so that they can make connections and understand and solve problems, typically of a magical nature, but just in general, being sort of the brains of the outfit in a certain sense.
Well, knowledge is power.
Yes.
That's essentially what this spell boils down to, which, again, wizards are not to be messed with. if you know what you're doing. Next up is Juggler's Touch.
This is an area effect spell, a damage spell, that causes a whole bunch of small objects within the area of effect to spin and whiz and whirl around, causing damage to all within the area of effect. On subsequent rounds, because it lasts multiple rounds, they can move the spell's center, move where it's located. It just requires them to make a new successful spell casting test against the highest mystic defense in the area that it is going to be affected. It does require concentration, as I think should be the case for any kind of extended damage spell. Unfortunately, it does require there to be appropriate objects in the area to fly around and cause the damage.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just making a small dust devil of wind, which doesn't do a whole lot on its own. But yeah, you're right. It has to have objects to throw around there. So
sure. Extra threads on this spell can remove targets from the damaging effect, so you can have it be in an area that your allies are without them taking damage from it.
Yeah.
Two extra threads can shift the concentration requirement to concentration being a simple action rather than needing to devote your standard action to maintaining the spell. So that's kind of cool, but that boosts it to a four-thread spell, not something that you're going to be doing before Journeyman tier, because you need those two extra threads. But it's a neat little relatively short range but area effect damaging spell, which is nice. Well, yeah. You can increase the area of effect a little bit. It doesn't affect a particularly huge area, but a 2-yard radius can affect, like, you know, 2 or 3 enemies, depending on how closely packed they are.
Totally. And, you know,
it can certainly be used to lock down a choke point.
Oh, yeah.
When you've got these area effect spells like this, one of the things to consider is not just how much damage can I do in that area, but can I put this in a place that will require the enemies to interact with it in order to do anything useful?
Yes.
They have to come through it to get to me or to get through a choke point, place it in a doorway. It is as much an area control, a zone control spell, as it is an actual damage spell. Similar in a different respect, but similar to Icy Surface.
Totally.
Slap that down to try and limit access to a particular area or cut off easy approach from a certain direction or something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, Juggler's Touch begins at will +6 for damage step. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, it's physical. So, you know, physical armor does tend to be higher. But that's still, like you said, typically magicians are going to have step 6 or 7 willpower to start off. It's not uncommon. And so you're looking at a step 11, yeah. 12, 13 base damage. And that's before you get into journeyman circles when you get access to will force and can boost that even more.
Totally. So if you had perhaps, and I'm asking you as a rules lawyer here, could that target be harried and suffer a harried penalty?
No, because that is not something that is part of the spell description. Despite the fact that there are a whole bunch of things going around with spells, if the description doesn't specify a particular penalty or something like that, then it wouldn't apply.
Making sure. I wanted to head off any emails we happen to get. Because somebody will ask that question eventually. Last two spells, because we had a nice dozen today. Light and Load.
Yeah, this would be useful combining with your unconscious Obsidiman or troll character. It temporarily reduces the weight of objects within its area of effect. The magician casts the spell and the effective weight of things within the area of effect is reduced 50 pounds per result on the effect test. It's will +2, so it's not huge, but again, you're looking at typically a base willpower of probably 6 or 7. So yeah. Let's say it's at 6 + 2, average result of 8 times 50 pounds. You're looking at 400 pounds reduction on average.
Yeah.
And not just moving unconscious heavy party members, but also anything else that is heavy or difficult or otherwise would otherwise be tough to move.
It's your wagon that got stuck in a mud puddle.
Yeah.
Or whatever else I can't think of at the moment. Thunderbeast, who's, you know, in a quicksand, because growing up in the 70s and 80s, I thought quicksand was going to be a major problem in my life, but that didn't end up being the case.
Reducing the weight of a big pile of loot, perhaps, that you want to take out of the care.
Exactly.
It lasts rank hours. The objects need to be stationary when you cast the spell, but they do not, by my reading of it, need to remain stationary once they're affected by it, because the idea is to make things easier to
transport
to move.
Yeah, because otherwise it's a parlor trick that doesn't really do anything except, you know, cause attention at parties. Yeah, you got to be able to move the stuff after you lighten the load. That's the whole point of lightening the load. So move it. Last spell, Wizard's Cloak. I believe I have used this exactly one time because I just got it and then I stopped playing that character.
Yeah, this is somewhat situational, but it's still a cool spell. The magician masks the target's magical presence, and anybody that they can touch can be affected by it. It adds a +6 to the target's mystic defense against any spells or abilities intended to astrally detect his presence or gain information about them.
That's a nice boost.
Yeah. Mystic Pursuit targets mystic defense. I would say that this would boost the difficulty against Mystic Pursuit.
Totally.
So that if somebody is trying to track your target through that or any other kind of tracking ability that targets Mystic Defense, I would say would apply in this situation. It's not as good as, say, Shadow Meld in terms of hiding and stealth. Shadow Meld is the Nethermancer spell. It's a sort of physical boost to Stealthy Stride.
Yeah.
This protects you from divination, location, all that sort of thing. just makes it more difficult to target you. And a plus six bonus is to stuff like that is nothing to sneeze at.
Well, it's like, it reminds me of the escalating arms race. Wizard's Cloak, I think, is the counter to astral targeting. And so if one wizard has a Wizard's Cloak,
yeah,
they would, you know, I know he's astrally targeting me.
I mean, there's a similar sort of thing with the talent that effectively increases the difficulty of casting spells within the area. That's a wizard talent. And then there's a lower circle wizard spell called Baseline Subtraction that takes that out of the equation.
Yeah.
So there's that sort of magical arms race that happens here with this as well. It certainly would affect astral targeting or the ability to, it would make it more difficult to be hit by Aura Strike, because Aura Strike requires you to be astrally sensed in order to be successfully targeted by that. So it's a nice little boost there. And it's not just the magician. Anybody that they can touch can be affected by that.
Yeah. I see it as if you created the spell to do the attack, then you have to create the spell that makes it harder for you to be attacked by that same spell. So you created the sword and the shield out of the whole thing. And again, if a horror happens to have all the wizard spells up through 8th circle, they would use this as well.
Could potentially. Horrors tend to have pretty high defenses and stuff as well. At least if you're talking about major horrors. Minor horrors that are, say, a story arc opponent or something like that probably might find this useful. But yeah, it's certainly something that they could have.
Agreed. So do you have a favorite 4th circle spell? Or least useful, how's that?
Binding Threads out of these is probably my favorite just because of the lockdown ability.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to effectively or close to effectively take an opponent out of combat, especially ones that would be more susceptible to, that would be more likely to fail the strength check that's required to do anything. The concentration that's required to do that is a small price to pay, but generally speaking, from a design standpoint, if you are going to be casting a spell that is going to be removing somebody from combat, the person that is doing that should probably need to pay some ongoing cost and concentration requiring the spell to be maintained so that they are spending their action to prevent the other party from taking their actions is kind of a fair trade-off. And then when you get more powerful magicians who have the extra thread capability to chish that over to a simple action, that makes them that much more potent when it comes to that kind of effect.
Yeah, I can take you, put you aside, and continue to cast spells and still hold you aside.
Right. Evolved Consciousness I like as a good secondary, as a new spell. I really like how it plays into the smartest guy in the room stereotype that sometimes goes along with wizards because of my general fan of investigation and knowing things and solving puzzles and figuring things out. It plays right into my wheelhouse in terms of the style of wizard that I would like to play.
Totally. Totally. My wizard had to focus more on combat spells, but I can absolutely see this is a well-rounded set of first circle, first, second, and third, fourth circle spells to really.
Yes.
So any further thoughts on our third and fourth circle investigation?
No, these are all pretty good. There are a couple in here that are somewhat circumstantial, but I think broadly they all have pretty decent use cases. I don't see any in here that I would be
sad to get.
I don't see the need to pick it up. Light and load would probably be a lower priority, although that would depend on the type of game that we're running. Ball of String is likewise like a really cool effect, but would only be useful in certain circumstances. But yeah, generally, I don't have any real problems with any of these.
Fair. Like I said, wizard's my favorite one to play. So if I had a spellcaster of any kind, it would be a wizard, hands down first. So folks, if you have any questions for us, please feel free to drop us a line at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, go cast some spells for your legend.
Good night, everybody.